Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And of course, hotels and motels would not rent to 16-year-old girls.
Right.
But somehow we would find a way. We would find a place to stay. We would sleep on somebody's floor and, you know, try to stay out of trouble. Try not to set the beach on fire, although one of my girlfriends did do that once, but I won't name her right now.
She set the beach on fire?
Yeah, yeah. A bonfire, let's just say a bonfire got out of control.
Oh, okay. Wow, no. that's not good.
No, well, there was lots of water around. That helped.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then. That sounded a little bit crackly. Hopefully, Sean will be able to take the crackle out of today's show. Sean is home. Nigel is home. Michael and I are socially distanced at the minimally correct 6 feet from each other at Uncle Benny's table. And I'm going to start today, as I've done recently, with a variety of requests that people have. Some are funny, some are not funny, and it's going to ultimately get to something that Bonnie asked me to do, and we will talk about that, Michael and I. And then we'll talk about the NHL, and then we'll have Richard Justice on the show and Gary Braun on the show. But let me begin with something I got the other day from Luke Fortier in Randolph, Massachusetts. It's either Luke Fortier, F-O-R-T-I-E-R. It's Fortier or Fortier. May 21st was my father's 77th birthday, and I want to ask for a shout-out. He's currently battling Parkinson's disease, which affects his short-term memory. So if you could remind him it's his birthday a few times, it'd be greatly appreciated. Also remind him of his 30 years of service teaching the less fortunate, whether it was young kids with special needs or adults who immigrated to this country to make a better life for their family and need to learn English to speak to their American grandchildren. I do not get to visit enough with him during this age of COVID. We both still listen to the podcast daily and do our best to share our favorite segments when I deliver groceries. I want to wish him the best 77th birthday. He won't remember. Love you, Dad. That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. It has humor. It has pathos. It's reasonably short, and it explains itself correctly. That is so much different from some of the other requests that we get. Tim Cree gets it. He writes, "Dear Ron, please don't give me a birthday shout out. Don't mention me or my wife or daughter. Don't celebrate the passage of time in our lives. Honestly, it's so invasive that you insist upon announcing all of these meaningful moments in my life and the life of those I care about. It's really getting to be a bit much. I know your sad, dreadful life is lacking, but I simply cannot be the outlet for your frustration any longer. I wish you well, but stop it already." That's perfect. That's two in a row that are perfect. This is from James Taylor, not that James Taylor. This email was originally going to be a request for a birthday shout out to my father. This will be the first time in 32 years we won't be together for our birthday. Yeah, our birthday. It's my birthday too. Fun facts, we were both born on May 27th and also both born on a Friday. Someone once told me the odds of that were like 1 in 27 million or something insane. On top of that, I was a blue baby on a blue moon. Umbilical cord wrapped around my neck, turning my face blue, and on the second full moon of the month. I know, not a real blue moon, but let me have this one. I know you said no more birthday shout outs, so this is no longer a plea for one. In fact, I'll just turn this into a thank you letter. I know you'll also hear this all the time, but the show does help give some sense of normalcy. So thank you. It's great. That's great. And from Tom Berry, "Since you're putting an end to the birthday shout outs, I was hoping you could do one more. I turned 28 on January 27th. I'd greatly appreciate the shout out now, since you certainly won't be doing them for my 29th trip around the sun. And while you're at it, my dad's been a loyal little since your actual sports writing days. He's even older than you. His birthday's July 20th, 1941. That's both pre-Pearl Harbor and pre-Columnettes. Now that I think about it, my sister listens pretty religiously as well. Could you shout out to her for her birthday on October 29th? Well, since my dad, my sister, and I are pretty avid listeners, could you just shout out to my mother? She listens by association. She has the coolest birthday of all, December 31st. We're looking forward to hearing this small request on Wednesday. Oh, wait, my dog, Cora, her birthday is February 23rd, 35 pounds from the 20018. That's Tom Berry, who is an admissions counselor in the Catholic University of America. And these are all good, which lead me to the Bonnie situation, and I have to call this up on my phone. And Bonnie means well. As we know, Bonnie always means well.
What's the passcode again?
Huh?
Never mind.
Oh, and so Bonnie means well, and Bonnie sort of mothers the littles. They don't ask her to, but she does that. So she writes, "Tony, a little reached out to me to ask if you could please do a quickie video on your phone. and send it to me for the kids' bar mitzvah next week, which is, of course, canceled. The kid's name is Donnie, D-O-N-I. Huge fans. Tracy could shoot it and text it to me, and then I could send it to them. Anything you could say would be great. The mom, Ilya, E-L-I-A, reached out to me this morning. I don't know their last name. They visited PTI years ago. My response was, really? And her response back was, yes, really, people are trying anything. I went to a Zoom bar mitzvah 2 weeks ago. It was really sad. At least it's nice for the kid. And I said, I may draw the line at this. And I think I have drawn the line at this. You get the shout out over the air, but my problem is this. If I do one and say no to two, I'm a terrible human being. And I just, Michael, how do you feel about this?
I think you look pretty bad right now.
Do I? Why?
Well, just for explaining the background of this, because people are trying to do anything that they can. But I'm more interested in the fact that people are holding Zoom bar mitzvah. Can you imagine being called to the Biba to read your Haftorah?
I don't know how it works. I don't know how any of this works.
Cracking.
Well, so do you think I should let Tracy follow me around the house all the time and just do shout outs randomly?
I think you're fine to hold the line here.
Yeah.
But to be fair, you've created this system where you have anointed Bonnie as Bonnie Gets It Done. So
Bonnie Gets It Done.
In the little's defense, Bonnie's trying to get it done.
Right.
Bonnie's doing her best.
So Bonnie got half of that done because I wish the kid a lot of luck and the mom a lot of luck. But
you know what? This is
I'm not
going to
film myself.
Bonnie's going to love the attention she's getting right now.
Of course.
And what did Bonnie send? She sent you home with what? Candy?
Candy. Bonnie sent a lot of candy over,
which is
great.
So she got it done
in
that area. This
she did. No, she sent more candy than honestly even an elephant with a sweet tooth could eat. It will take years to eat this candy, but I'll get it down. So,
but that was very artfully done how you connected those emails, which I'm still waiting for the second half of the emails that angered you because I haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, yeah. Nigel, what do you think? Having a person just follow you around and just on request, just I don't know, you know, taping things, videotaping. What do you think? Nigel's lost us. We have no Nigel.
Nigel has left the conference call.
Okay, that's the end of Nigel.
Now, why don't you just have a stock video and just say, here's your video, Bonnie. If you want to put in the name, go for it.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Tony Kornheiser, celebrating.
Oh, I see. And then in a feminine voice, Bonnie would say the name.
I'm just imagining the shot as you're walking around the yard. Chessie's hurting you, yapping at your feet. The birds are chirping.
Yeah.
The little boy's hitting T-balls at you.
It's great. Banged it right off my middle finger the other day, caused the middle finger to swell and get very, very red. I was
happy
about
that. Salute.
Let me go to the hockey. Sean, do you hear us?
I do.
Why is Nigel not on the line?
We're trying to figure that out right now. He's hearing us. We're not hearing him.
Mm. Okay.
That makes me so happy. He must be throwing things at the wall.
Yeah, he's very angry right now. Let me get to the hockey. Hockey becomes the first of our four major sports to declare we've got a plan. Now, the plan is contingent, of course, upon the medical reality of whether or not they can get the hockey players and the support staff out onto the ice. It's a four-step plan. They open up the training facilities, then they open up training camp, then they pick two cities and create bubbles in these two cities, and then they start to play. And they'll probably start to play late July, early August, and they will go through the early fall. They will go through Labor Day, apparently. Now, you want to get out. You want to get out. If the NFL goes, you want to get out before the NFL because you're just going to be swamped by the NFL. And this is Gary Bettman's plan. 24 teams are in the playoffs, 24 out of 31. The regular season is over. It is just playoffs now. This is slightly different than the proposed plan for the NBA, which would continue some regular season games, allegedly. But they have not issued their plan yet. And by the way, the players who want to play in the NBA have said through their representative, Michelle Roberts, give us a plan already. Stop fooling around. It's a shot right at Adam Silver, who's in an ivory tower musing at the moment. And Michelle Roberts said, get your boots on the ground, basically. But the NHL has done that. 24 teams will be in a playoff. The bottom eight teams in each conference will play a 3 out of 5 series to get to the top four teams who will have a bye. I'm not crazy about a bye because I think it dulls your ability to get right out of the gate in a playoff series when you're playing a team that has already played a full series, not a single elimination game, but a full 3 out of 5. I think that is disadvantageous to the best teams. And I think the teams that have proven themselves over the course of the full season, however long that season is, they should never be placed at a disadvantage. The weaker team should be at a disadvantage. And the NHL does not account for that. And so it is unsatisfactory to me. But the larger issue here, to me, is the bubble situation that the NHL is going to have. They're going to have 12 teams in one city for a while. They're going to have to rent out hotels, rent out restaurants, rent out whatever they do. And my advice to them would be this: bring your own people to do everything. Your own people to cook, your own people to clean, your own people for transportation, your own people. That way, if your people get sick, you did the best you could. You're not subject to the vagaries of employees of hotels or restaurants in that particular city. I would hire my own staff.
Well, that's why it'll become like a Russian doll, where you get the city, then you get even more microclimates, whether it's in the hotel, whether it's in the banquet hall, whether you have
I wouldn't let the hotel do it.
No, I know, but they're going to make deals with this where you're getting a lot of branding, so we are going to be bringing in our own personal chefs to try and contain everything. Now, what I think is so great is we know that the NHL is the smallest of our major four,
mm-hmm.
and so the fact that they're getting out ahead of this and trying to dictate what
they also have the best playoffs.
Yes, and I think they recognize that's why they need to get this. But you're also trying to protect what comes in the fall, because whether or not there is a rebound, you want to make sure that the full season of 2020-2021 is protected while trying to give closure here and give people what they want, which is the playoffs. So I look at this more favorably. One, they're getting run on the Today Show, which I think is pretty big.
Good for hockey.
Although the
Today Show is NBC partner. Product and it's a partner.
I know, but that I think that is still big as you're trying to look at what the NBA did, which was effectively shut down American sports.
Adam Silver personally.
In early March. And I think it'll be interesting because we live in a world where there will be no fans, but these will be highly televised games. And I think that has the ability to influence the impact of, say, that 8-1. And we don't necessarily know.
Could be the 12-1.
Well, once you get through that first round, I don't think they've decided anything but the finals for the conference finals and the Stanley Cup will be a 7-game series. So if you have a shorter series, you have to look at game one. If you're playing in a neutral city site,
no fans, you lose the home ice.
So what does that mean for a star player, for a star team, when it actually has the ability to pull the national eyes? And you look at the impact of social media. If you have somebody like Alex Ovechkin and you looked at the championship run that he had and those types of personalities, they can overtake all of sports. So I think you'd see an NHL where you might not have that same shift where the lower seed, unless you have a darling story. I wouldn't be surprised if in each conference you have one darling team, whether it's through a young star, a goalie, where everyone just rallies behind, and then you see sort of the Twitter trending and they're able to take down one of the top seeds.
So the interesting thing to me was the NHL floated a plan about 3 weeks ago that they might end up in places, rural places like North Dakota, where they felt that they could protect all their players medically better than they could in large cities. That's out the window, because although they have neither announced the start time, because for medical reasons they don't know, or the cities involved, because they don't know exactly. But it's Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. Not Washington, not New York, not Los Angeles, obviously. Those are all big cities. I'm a little bit surprised at that, but we'll see. You know, we'll see how that goes. I think that Gary Bettman was hopeful and optimistic, which is exactly what you want from a commissioner. But as we talk about, with all plans, as Robert Burns said, gang after glay, but with all plans, it's the great boxing cliche. Everybody's got a plan till you get hit in the mouth. And then you see what happens after that. We will take a break at the moment. We hope to rescue Nigel from his cone of silence, and Richard Justice of MLB.com will join us when we return to talk about whether or not baseball will indeed start. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Simply Safe ad. What's the number one sign of a bad home security system? A home security system that is so complicated you never use it. This is exactly the type of security system Simply Safe has spent a decade fighting against. They believe that simple is safer, and it's exactly why Simply Safe is the home security for right now, when feeling safe at home has never been more important. Simply Safe was designed to use to be easy to use while protecting your whole home 24/7. You can order online with the click of a button. You open the box, you place the sensors, you plug it in, and your home is protected around the clock. No technician or salesperson has to come and disrupt your house. You don't need to pay any outrageous monthly fees or sign a two-year contract. They want me to tell a personal story about setting up SimpliSafe. I can't even put gas in my car, so I'm the wrong guy to do this.
But the camera's still running at the studio.
The camera is running at the studio. If we ever get back to the studio, we can see who has walked in there. SimpliSafe was named Best Overall Home Security of 2020 by U.S. News & World Report, and their 24/7 professional monitoring and emergency dispatch starts at 50 cents a day. Head to SimpliSafe. Let me spell it, because it's spelled differently. SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe.com/Tony. Get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That is simplysafe.com/Tony. And they will know that the show sent you, because somebody else would have a different code.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. Out
my window frame. This is sent to us by Evan Mock of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, submitting the original music of his good friend Brett Altman. This is called Alone on a Saturday Night, and Brett Altman says, I wrote the song almost 3 years ago at a time in my life when I'd find any excuse to fill up my calendar. I feared missing out by spending even one night at home. Ultimately, I learned to value the moments of solitude. Fortunately, this mindset has benefited me during our current circumstance. Being alone doesn't have to be lonely. This is lovely. Brett Altman, you can hear all of it at the end of the podcast, which we will get to eventually. Richard Justice of MLB.com. joins us now, and as I just finished talking about, the NHL has a plan. It is not set in stone. It depends on medical reality, and it depends on, you know, putting players in place where they can play. It's stretched out over months. It won't start until the end of July or beginning of August, but they are closing a season. It's different when you're opening a season. Richie, what is the latest baseball plan as you can understand it?
It's completely different because the NHL and the NBA players got most of their money. The teams got a lot of the revenues. Obviously, the postseason is a huge amount of money. At MLB, they are starting over from scratch. The latest is that the owners gave the players a proposal on Tuesday, and it basically meant a sliding scale. Everyone shares the pain. Baseball had $10.7 billion in revenues last year. To get to half that this year would be a miracle, and the proposal says we all have to share in the pain. The players don't like it. For instance, Gerrit Cole, who's to make $36 million this year, would make about $8 million. Now, it's a sliding scale. The players who make at the lower end,
they make more of their money.
And some on the player side, the agent side, see this as an attempt to divide the union. Now, how will the players react? Will they come back with another proposal? Will they react to this one? Will they reject it out of hand? One thing that has been discussed about among the players is, why don't we ask for the 50%, the prorated portion of our salaries? We get paid per game. That would be about a 50% pay cut for each player. We'd agreed to that previously. Baseball had made that proposal thinking there would be fans in the stands, thereby the pain is even worse. Why don't we come back and offer to defer our salaries? Now, there's a division about that, too. If you defer salaries, some think that would make the pain that we're going to see in the offseason toward free agency, 2021 payrolls and all that, even worse.
Oh, so, yeah, nobody's going to offer Mookie Betts $400 million if you're on the hook for this year. No,
right.
No.
And the other part of that is that there are owners who say, okay, we had a deal on March 26th, even though circumstances have changed, let's play. There are owners who say, no, we cannot accept this much pain. Likewise, there are players who don't all see the world the same way. And apart from all that, and I think in baseball negotiations, they're always more public and they're always uglier. But at the end of the day, in the last hour, they always find a way, they have for the last, 25, 26 years, to reach a deal. That's what it's going to be this time. Okay, do you really want to play? Apart from that is, are we to a point where players feel safe? And I think in all these sports, we're not going to get there. We're not going to get there for any of us, you, me, anybody, until there's a vaccine, and who knows when that will be.
This is the last thing you said is so accurate. I mean, I've had a lot of people, you know, you get texts or emails and they say, when this is over, let's go to dinner. And you say to right. yourself, the last thing on earth I'm going to do is go to. That's actually the last thing. I'll go to a lot of places, but I'm not going to go to dinner for a while. I'm just not. There is antagonism, historic antagonism between baseball players and ownership that is not as. You know, in the other sports, you have basketball players saying we want to play, hockey players saying we want to play, football players just assume they're going to play. Baseball has always been different, but you're saying, Richie, that you believe that ultimately at the 11th hour they will carve up a deal. Is there a deadline where beyond which you say no, we're not going to have a season?
We're just about there. If we don't have a deal a week from today. That would be hard. You want to start the season on July 4th because I think health experts do believe we're going to have a second wave, so you don't want to go into December with your postseason and all that. So we're pretty much there. You know, I would say if we don't have a deal by the end of this week, if the two sides are still spitting at each other publicly, that would be an indication that I think there has to be a season. Just if you can get to a point where you agree on the health, that there's going to be risk. What happens when a player tests positive? Because a player is going to test positive. How do we handle all that? I just think the risk is too much. And everyone will say, well, in a pandemic, millionaires and billionaires shouldn't be arguing. Look, collective bargaining is an honorable part of this country's history. So I don't worry about that. But we got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
So
but
let's just.
Always, but Tony, that's that for since 1975, 45 years. That has been true every single time. Now, what's different this time is baseball players and owners had come to an agreement fairly smoothly the last few times. What has changed since the last agreement is that analytics. The new wave guys see that the value is in players 27 or younger. The compensation system is based to pay players 28 and older. There has to be a redoing of that, and that is a massive amount of work when the collective bargaining agreement expires after next season.
So let's get to health and safety. I mean, baseball issues a lot of proposals, including maybe no showering in the clubhouse and no spitting and no touching and this, that, and the other thing. And then a guy like Charlie Blackmon is an established player, says, I can't stop spitting. I just can't. I can't. And you want to say, well, come on. It's a habit. You can stop spitting. And you know, this is, I see this, my mind goes to baseball players setting up barriers all the time. You know, everything in baseball is more of a negotiation than in other sports. What are your thoughts on just a simple act of spitting?
Well, the players pushed back on some. Baseball gave the players a 56-page proposal dealing with all of that. Now, one part of that did deal with testing, weekly testing. The players have said, how about daily testing? And then loosen up with some of the abnormalcy in the clubhouse. Because the hot and cold areas, the training areas, we need those areas. You know, players have become such creatures of habit. They're so fine-tuned about the things they do every day. If you're going to take away the indoor batting cage, you're going to take away the cold tub and all that, that's going to impact. So why not test every day? Now, that gets back to can baseball use that much testing? Do you affect the general public, people in nursing homes and all that? If you do that, it is a very, very tough thing to try to wrap your mind around. Like, what is right? What is available? Because you watch the news, you read the New York Times every day, and you don't know how much testing is actually out there.
Do baseball, like hockey, doesn't exactly know where yet, but they've narrowed it down. Basketball is going to be in Orlando. Where is baseball going to be if they play? Is there a bubble scenario in baseball? Are they that far along? Because as you say, you got to know.
Right. The bubble scenario didn't work out. There were scenarios, Arizona, Florida, Texas, Arizona, Major League Parks, all of those things. I think they would like to play as many games in Major League Parks as possible, setting up the possibility that in a month, in 2 months, that you can have some fans in the stands. That's where they would like to go, if possible, if the community will allow it, primarily California, New York, Massachusetts, play in Major League Parks. That's the plan.
So the Washington Nationals will get to defend their championship at Nats Park. That's the plan.
That would be the hope. And now that you have to do that in conjunction with city leaders. Are you safe with us coming here? Are you safe with having some public safety people pull away from their other work to come here and help with this? That would be the ideal scenario. You know, but if you're not going to have fans in the stands, why not have the Yankees play in Tampa and all of that? And all of that still worked out. The two sides have had extensive conversations about safety, but they have not reached an agreement. Now they've turned to, let's try to reach an agreement on the money. And to say they've gotten nowhere would be an understatement. But I still just do not.
Well, honestly, if I'm Garrett Cole, Richie, if I'm Garrett Cole and I signed a deal for $36 million and you're going to give me one-fifth of that or one-sixth of that, I'm going to go, really?
Yeah,
really?
But not just that. You have Garrett. Let's take Garrett Cole and Mike Trout, who are both wives are pregnant. What is worth it for you to go play
right
when you're going to come back home and not know whether you're infected or not? But all of us deal with this. Do you know if you go to the supermarket and you come back to your grandchild, you just don't know. There's an uncertainty in life in this country, around the world, that we have never dealt with before, and I think everybody has to wrestle with it in their own way.
I look at baseball. I mean, there's a lot of things lining up that discourage me. One is that three different Asian leagues are playing. They're playing. And the American League and National League, American Baseball, is not yet playing. And the overwhelming majority of people who look at why they're not playing just assume it's money, because they say, well, if these other leagues are playing and they can be safe, why can't these guys play? I'm not sure that's fair. In fact, I know it's not fair, but I think that is the prevalent opinion, and I wonder what you hear from baseball people about, you know, about how the public will turn against baseball if they don't play.
That's always true, though, they especially turn against the players, and I've never figured out exactly the reason for that. But let's take Korea, for example. They're playing in Korea, but you have 50 miles of travel. You have fewer teams.
Right.
And you have a rule there that if a player tests positive, we're going to shut the whole league down for 3 weeks. There's going to be more travel here, even though they're going to try to limit the travel regionally to regional travel, and you're going to have more players, and you're going to have positive tests. What do you do about it? That's what you have to wrestle with, the fact that you're going to it's going to happen. It's different there now. You know, in Japan, you're dealing with some of the same things too. But I know the public opinion. I've already gotten emails. I will never watch baseball again. Oh my God! You wrote me in 1988 and in 1994. You have to do what's right for your sport and then get it back on the field. The appeal to play is this: the TV ratings will be phenomenal. That everybody, we want this badly back in our lives. I mean, my God. And that's the appeal to play. The ugly part is taking part now.
I know Rob Manfred to say hello. That's all. I don't really know him. You know him far better than I do. He has been, I would say, of all the commissioners, he has been the one to say more than the others, we'll do everything we can. There's no idea out there that's too insane. We will consider it because we want to play. I would imagine he personally feels thwarted by everything that's gone on.
I think he feels thwarted by the fact that he's sitting atop an industry that had $11 billion in revenue this year and is could have zero revenues this year. And the players are dealing with all the same things. The timetable was not kind. The NFL has more time to work out its problems, and the NFL gets 75% of its money revenues from national TV, so it can play an empty ballpark with less, an empty stadium with less pain. It's totally different. And you take the history of it, baseball players and owners for the last 50 years have negotiated contracts, and many times the negotiations have been very, very painful, and the public does not like it. While they think a coal miner has the right to negotiate, for some reason they've always thought baseball players should not have the right to negotiate. They always have very strong opinions about that, but it's honorable. And I know the people, like you said, I know the people on both sides. They want to do what's best for their sport.
Do you think there'll be a season? And if you think there'll be a season, how many games do you think there'll actually be?
I think there'll be 81 games, 82 games. I think it'll be like an NBA season, and I do think we'll start to play. Now, can you see a point? You know, we have to get to the point where players feel safe. There have been enough conference calls between agents and players and union and players, players asking a ton of questions. What about this? What about that? I think they're getting their minds around it. It's very awkward. You got keyed up. You got ready to go, ready to play. You were just on the cusp of playing, and now you're saying start over. It's different physically. It's different mentally. But I think ultimately guys want to play. And just like with the NBA, I can't imagine the NBA and NHL starting back. But we've never been through anything in this country, so it's going to be unique.
It really is. And the overwhelming thing that you're right about is that if they do play,
people
will turn out to watch. They will. It's just because it's every night. People want this so much. It's almost, I hesitate to say it's essential because it isn't essential, obviously. But it's so much for the good and welfare of the people, don't you think? It really is.
It's the background music of our whole lives for the whole summer. From what? From April to the end of November, it's something you know every day. I mean, I got so much pleasure last year when the Nats were bad, of just hearing you go off on their bullpen, because it's a reminder how much we care. You know, you remember that when they're playing well, you go to bed in a good mood. when they're lousy, you go to bed in a bad mood and wake up in a bad mood. That's what the sport has meant to this country for 100-something years.
Thank you so much. I could not say it any better or as good. Thanks, Richie. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Tony.
Richard Justice, boys and girls. We will come back with Gary Braun. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Brooklinen ad. I don't even want to do the ad. I mean, the ad that they've written. I just want to tell you, I have Brooklinen sheets. I have Brooklinen pillowcases. I have a Brooklinen comforter. I bought these. I used the code. I did. It's not free. I got Brooklinen towels. I think they sent me a couple of towels for free. And I really, really like their product. I mean, I could tell you about the company being formed. We do that all the time. Their product is really good. I would say to you that if you are looking for towels or loungewear or sheets or pillowcases or comforters, just, you know, look at their stuff. Their stuff's really, really good. The whole concept is, you know, that you would get really high quality stuff at a regular working man's price. And that's sort of the way I felt about it. It's luxury. It's not going to break the bank. It's really good. The stuff's really good. I guess I could go on and on. Should I go on and on?
Why don't you get to the call to action?
Here's the call to action. Brooklinen.com is the perfect place to start making small changes that make big differences. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets and comforters and loungewear and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Go on, make yourself comfortable. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use the promo code TonyKShow. And use the code, don't be stupid. Only at brooklinen.com. I'll spell it for you. BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code TonyKShow. Brooklinen. Everything you need to live your most comfortable life.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
I want you to be my girl, 'cause you're the best lover in the world.
old-time garage band rock and roll, boys and girls. From Jim Baznight, The Best Lover in the World, which he writes is the second most played track of the year on This Is Rock and Roll Radio in Syracuse, New York. I like this stuff. This is rock and roll, as Bruce Springsteen will tell you, starts, you know, at your pelvis. I mean, that's where you're supposed to feel it. That's why they called Elvis Presley Elvis the Pelvis. If people like Jim Baznight want to send us their original music, Michael, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And you can listen to all the music at the end of the podcast in its entirety without us talking over it. Gary Braun joins us now and wished to sort of soliloquize, if there is such a word, at the beginning of the segment. Go ahead.
Nice work, Nigel. Nice work. Excellent. Perfect intro for me.
Yeah, best lover in the world, right?
Yeah.
So, Tony, I wanted to... Not soliloquize so much as just close the loop on a couple of things you mentioned yesterday. First of all, I have spoken with Dave Spector of Bells Up Winery. I called him initially to tell him to slap a post-it that says "For Gary" on one of the bottles, but then I ended up just buying a bunch of wine from him. But he indeed has also sent you wine. He didn't get it from me, but he said he got an address. I don't know which one. Michael, I'm assuming it's your home address. So just, I wanted you guys to keep an eye out for that.
We have it. Michael brought it over today. It went to Michael's house. He brought it over today with this note. I'll just read the note, and then I'll launch into something else. If you're reading this note, I'll assume that at least some of the bottles in this box of that have made their way past the wine tyrant. It's my privilege to share these with you and your family, friends, show guests, and contributors, anyone else you deem wine worthy. Oh, heck, just pop a cork in a glass standing at the sink if that works better for you. I'm eternally grateful for the exposure you've given to my little business. To date, at least 24 other loyal littles and a few bigs, too, who had never heard of us prior to May 11th, have reached out from all over the country interested in our story and in trying our wines. Everyone I've had the pleasure of chatting or email with has been so nice and gracious, and I know that's not a coincidence. The connective fabric of the show does indeed run deep among us all. I hope you're able to pull out the talismans and amulets someday and make the trip out west to play at Bandon Dunes, and when that happens, I hope we can be a stop on your journey. Thank you once again for the memories and all the smiles during these challenging times. And that's from Dave Spector. And I should say, we also got wine from Duska Jensen, who is, as we know, the senior winery ambassador at Willamette. It's Willamette, damn it. Willamette Valley Vineyards. She sent wine. Last night, Tracy and Carol and I had the sparkling wine that she sent us, which was great. And so I think I'm going to echo what Gary is going to say, which is, if you listen to the show and you like this show, I can certainly at the moment vouch for Willamette Valley. And I'm sure by the end of tonight, I'll be able to vouch for, is it Bells Up? That's what it's called, Dave Spector.
Correct.
It's so... These are products you will like, and the notion of littles being turned on to these things by the show and helping other littles is profoundly gratifying to me. And I think that you feel the same way, right, Gary? Because you've done that many times.
Yeah, unbelievably so. I mean, you know me, Tony. I'm a taker, and beyond the relationships with you guys at this show. Offers me. It's also presented over the years some incredible opportunities to do and see really cool things and meet a lot of great people who were, littles or fans, for lack of a better word,
yeah.
Which is a weird yeah. word, but then they've become very close and dear friends to me. And I'll have to have an ambassador as well, but I had a great talk.
Oh, no, I talked to Duska last night. I called her. She called back. We had a charming talk. She talked about, I mean, she's a wine person, so what she talked about was the sub-Avas, which the American viticultural area, I mean, this is where the wines are grown. I didn't really understand it. I've got an email about it from someone else, which I'll read later.
It is fascinating, though.
But it's very interesting, and the fact that, you know, when you talk to them, they're real to you. It's really nice. You had that with Dave Spector.
When I spoke to Dave, which was a couple of days after he sent you that wine, that number was north of 30 people who had littles who had called and ordered wine. And I told him that if nothing else, oh hey, Chess.
Yeah, she's barking at something outside. Yeah.
That if nothing else, you know, the littles are a ferociously loyal group. So if his stuff doesn't suck to high heaven, it probably won't be the last time they order from him. So, I've got a bunch coming for it, and not a minute too soon because I'm kind of on still holding it tight to the vest here. So we're
yeah. What are you up to? What are you up to since the last time we talked?
Well, I mean, the last 12 to 18 hours, I've just been doing extensive NHL playoff preview breakdowns for my blog on the internet, but
it's for Kevin Show.
Yeah, for She and Show.
No, I mean, I've been working. I've got enough work to stay busy, but I've also been putting the crew to work. So things like the spring cleanup at my house, which is kind of extensive because there's a lot of landscape property on the house. I just decided I didn't want to pay someone that amount of money for something I could do myself. So I put the family to work, and we've spent the last couple weekends doing that. Just kind of.
Well, you know what you can do? You can get your family jobs with Finn at Pineapple Landscaping, and they can kill carpenter bees.
Tony,
and they can do that.
I've been meaning to tell you this for months. I don't know how I keep forgetting it. Finn was a high school classmate of Kim's.
Is that right?
Kim knows. Yes. Next time you talk to Finn, ask him about Kim Burton.
Wow.
I don't know if it was high school or college. I believe it was high school. But somehow the name came up, and we Googled it up, and sure enough, it's the same guy. So, yeah, it's a small world. The problem with that, at least for my boys, is that what I'm learning is they are just incapable of doing anything correctly. I mean, you ask them to do stuff around the house, and it's like they say they'll do it, and then they sort of do it half-assed, and then they say, well, if I got paid, I'd do it. And I say, well, if you got paid, I would make you then do it. I mean, it's gotten to the point where Kim says, oh, you can teach him. I'm like, I'm not a teacher. I'm just going to do it. It's just easier to do it than to have to think it's done and then see that it was done terribly. I'm realizing this thing is making me realize what a bad dad I've been in many respects. I mean, these kids just are not ready for prime time. The boys, anyway. I say that. The daughter is ready to go. She's a few years older. And by the way, she's ready to go. So
okay.
That's a whole other thing.
she's signed up to attend the University of Michigan, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So the president of the university...
By signed up, you mean I sent them a check. But yes.
Right. The president of the University of Michigan is by trade, apparently. I heard this on TV yesterday. In a sports contest, so I don't know if it's true. He's an epidemiologist.
He's an immunologist.
Okay, an immunologist. And what he said was, no students, no sports. That's what he said. We don't have students, we're not having sports. Somebody must have told that to Jim Harbaugh. My guess is Jim Harbaugh understands that and would be supportive of that. But one of the reasons, to me, you go to a school like Michigan, honestly, is football. Is right. It's football. You want to see the maize and the helmets, you know, and you want to go to football, to the big house. Am I wrong on that?
I can only speak for my kid, but it was a factor. Yeah. I mean, you know, you want that environment. So what he has said, and Mark Schlissel, I believe is his name. And in fact, later this morning, so Michigan still has not, a number of schools have plans for the fall and have announced them, whether it's going back or not going back. Michigan has not. But later this morning, in fact, they're hosting sort of a Q&A featuring him for incoming students. And I'm anticipating, I could be wrong, but I'm anticipating he'll announce something. I don't imagine you have a Q&A with him when there's really only one Q and everyone's going to be asking it.
That's right.
If he doesn't have the A. So, as you like to say, events maybe overtake us by the time many have heard this. But what he has said and what I have heard him say, to your point, is if it's not safe for our students to be here, it's not safe for our student athletes to be here. Now with a 8 or 9 figure endowment, whatever they have, in the neighborhood of $10 or $11 billion, I believe they can afford, I guess, as unthinkable as it seems, I guess they've calculated they can afford to forfeit a football season. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in these divisions if one team says they can't and the others say they can. I mean, I think the best case scenario for college football, and you would certainly know better than I, but the best case would seem, first of all, any pre-organized schedule is out the window. The best case seem that there's just some sort of conference tournament. Season-long conference tournament of 8 or maybe 10 games, although that would leave, that would be bad for people like our friend Coach Polian, who obviously needs people to play at a conference. So Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, every time we talk, I think I share this sentiment, and it's. I'm tired of beating the drum, especially with you and the audience here. But that's a pretty significant source of stress in our house, or of concern, I should say. It's just sort of what's.
Well, I would certainly think so. If my kids were of college age, and they had been accepted to college, and there was a pretty high number in that you have to pay, even in state schools, it's a very, very high number. It's a lot more than I ever paid. And then they tell me, oh, by the way, and it'll be an online thing. If it's online, that can go to Strayer. If it's online, yeah. You know, I would just say, well, then why am I doing this? So take the year off. And then get a job. And then some of those kids who take the year off and get a job, they're going to like their jobs and they're not even going to go to college. And what this might do is influence people into thinking that college isn't as important as my generation thought college was. Oh, you have to go to college. Maybe you don't have to go to college, or maybe you can delay going to college, or maybe you can go to a junior college very close to your house and learn two very specific things that will be of great benefit to you down the road. So, I mean, it could cause a reexamination of the whole notion of college. I'm sure you've thought of that.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, what's the premium? What are you paying for here? You know, are you paying for the knowledge, or are you paying for the education, and which is more valuable? And we happen to be in the middle of something that increasingly it appears we're going to have to invent our way out of if that's going to happen. And it's not going to be Altacockers like you and me who are doing that. So you know, the other thing about having college age kids, and I don't know if you remember this from when your kids were that age, but you go through a little bit of the senioritis thing, which this class of 2020 didn't really have, because right around when it started hitting, they stopped going to school. But
yeah,
once they're accepted into colleges, And you know this just from living life, whether it's a new job or a new relationship. I mean, once you've checked out, you're checked out, right? So they get accepted, their senior year got whacked, whatever, they're ready to go. So in her mind, she's gone, she's out the door, she's ready to go. Her patience is less with us, you know, she's looking to spread the wings. And now faced with, like, well, maybe you're not going. Maybe you'll do that first semester from a laptop in your bedroom, or maybe you'll take a gap year. I mean, it's just
unsettling.
I realize everyone the world over has problems. I hate to come on here and lament mine, but it, you know, it's just been such a tough deal for this class of 2020. The one silver lining is that where my kid goes to school, which is public school in Montgomery County, Maryland, the great Leon Harris will be emceeing their online graduation on June 7th.
Wonderful.
So
that's wonderful. When I went to college in my freshman year, we were on something called trimester. The school operated 12 months a year. There were two semesters. You had to complete two. That would be 8 months worth of college. Well, I was accepted for the fall at Harper College in Binghamton, New York. We didn't start till November 1st. All of my friends had gone to college. They'd gone in August, September, and October. None of them were around. I used to go to my high school football games and sit in the stands and wonder, what's going on with me? Why am I still here? I had a job. I was working in a department store. I was making money. I wasn't unhappy, but I was dislocated because everybody had been to college. They had already come back for weekends before I left. And I just felt like, what is going on? And I would imagine all of these kids feel that to a degree so much more acutely than I ever did, because they're all in it.
Yeah, they're largely lost. And you know, you bring up a great point about for the schools that want people to do it remotely, and kids that decide to take the year off to defer that admission, and then some of them never go back. I mean, that's completely just changing the lives of so many directions, changing the direction of so many lives in a way that, you know, none of us consider. I'm not saying for better or worse. I mean, hopefully for better, you know. I mean, you don't look back. Who knows? You play the hand you're dealt. But it's a, it's just this, the tentacles of this thing just
go on and on and on. And then, you know, right when you start to feel like maybe you got a chance, along comes Memorial Day weekend. And you,
yeah, and the Lake of the Ozarks.
Alarming images.
Right, yeah. You look at the Lake of the Ozarks and the pool party and you say, how stupid are the people that live in this country.
So, by the way, along the speaking about Memorial Day, something you and Jeannie were talking about yesterday. Now, you guys are, I'm native to the area. I mean, in suburban D.C. in Maryland, not D.C. central like Jean. But you guys are, I guess, about 20 years older than I. But so something must have changed in those 20 years, because I can tell you that for us, Memorial Day was the unquestioned start of summer. I mean, sure, as Pat Summerall's voice meant, I got to go back to school tomorrow, Memorial Day meant we're going to the beach, and we don't care if it takes 6 hours to get there, which it usually did. I mean, just everyone went, rain, shine, what have you. So I found that really interesting. From her, that she said, you know, and when she was in high school, it's just too cold. I mean, they went down, obviously, but it wasn't like a mass pilgrimage. I mean,
I thought it was like going to Lourdes, you had to go, but I guess it wasn't when Jeannie was in school, but it was when you were in school, you had to go.
Yeah.
It's good to know. My house.
So no one has been to Delaware? Carol hasn't gone down?
No, nobody. We haven't been. I'm trying to get Michael and Liz and the boys to go.
We're trying to go in a couple of weeks. Gary, if the boardwalk benches are opening up, are you guys going to run down to Ocean City?
Get me some Dolly's Taffy and some Thrashers. Well, Tony, why don't you just have, maybe between shows at some point later this week, you could have Nigel just head down there and just check on the house from the outside, just make sure everything's in order.
You should do that. All right. Thank you, Gary. Be well. Give our best to the family. All right.
We got
to
stop meeting like this. Let's get together soon and do it for real.
Yes, but not in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Not
doing when that. When the time's right.
Gary Braun, boys and girls, we will take a break. We will come back with jingle and email. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Jay Covington doing Gary's song.
Got the full title in there.
Very, very nice. That's about it for us today. But before I get to the mailbag, I want to give a shout out to my friend Ogie Oglethorpe and what a trying rookie season he's had with the litigation, the notoriety, his subsequent deportation to Canada, and that country's refusal to accept him. Tough break. Thanks to today's guest, Richard Justice of MLB.com, and our very own Gary Braun. Thanks to today's sponsors, Brooklinen, Simply Safe. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Radio.com. If you get the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. And you want to thank the people at Bethesda Bagel.
Oh, yes. Thanks to Danny and the gang. Bethesda Bagels open every single day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Stop on by 4819 Bethesda Avenue.
We are grateful to them every day that they give us stuff.
Next year you can get to the Metro fires.
Huh?
The Metro building was on fire this morning.
You're kidding?
No. Downtown.
Wow, that's tremendous.
Shut
they've
down
had
two city blocks.
They've had so few fires lately.
Arcing.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. Well, great is probably the wrong word, but it's great for the show.
Fewer fires.
From Matt Morin, from the Cream Wine Company in Chicago. You mentioned on Monday's show the wines you received were from different sub-AVAs. AVA stands for American Viticultural Area, or Viticultural. These are designated similar to the French appellations, Le Bordeaux, Burgundy, Champagne, or the Italian, such as Chianti. The best-known example in the U.S. would be Napa Valley, which is an AVA. And then within Napa, there are sub-AVAs, such as Atlas Peak or Howell Mountain. And I went to Willamette on our honeymoon last year, and I can't recommend it enough. Perfect weather, beautiful scenery, the best wine in the country, and unbelievable food. I can tell you from firsthand that the sub-AVAs do make a big difference. We visited a client winery called J. Christopher and tasted a bunch of different Pinot Noirs, all produced by the same winemaker, that were extremely different due to variety of soils, climates, directions the hills faced, sunlight, elevation, etc. Thank you so much for continuing the show. I know you've heard it a million times, but it really does bring some much-needed normalcy to our lives. As a native Chicagoan, I'm constantly arguing with friends about which half of the PTI team we prefer, since I hate Chicago sports, go Minnesota everything. And I want to dismiss the homerism of Wilbon. Isn't that nice? He wants to be the official wine sales rep of the show. He can be that. Sub-David, that's always interesting. And again, as I said with Gary, the Bells Up Winery and the Willamette...
we're visiting.
Willamette Valley Vineyards. You know, look
them
up.
3.5 north of Bandon.
Yeah, we have to go. We do have to go. Dave Spector said thanks for the shout-out. And we've given Dave Spector enough publicity already, so we're happy for him. Grateful to him. From Ellen Robinson in Rochester, Minnesota, I'm a huge fan of PTI and your lovely podcast. My husband and I met in the Portland metro area and got married in Rochester, Minnesota in April of 2018. My friend's parents are proprietors for the Lady Hill Winery in St. Paul, Oregon. I'll ask my friend if she knows Duska Jensen. You're famous in Oregon. Here's an article about you. There's an article in Great Northwest Wine that talks about me and the things I've been saying lately of wine. And it's got pictures of Sarah and Dave Spector.
I drink it over the sink?
I drink it over the sink. This is so tremendous. It just makes me nuts.
Give me the red and leave the bottle?
Yeah, from Ray Saunders in North Beach, Maryland. Thank you for the quarantine podcast. One of your recurring stories reminded me of something. When I was in my mid-20s and a relationship with a longtime girlfriend was crashing, I sent her a card. That was the 1970s, so it wasn't an online card. And I wrote this. These days, I seem to think a lot about the things that I forgot to do for you and all the times I had the chance to. I did not credit Jackson Brown. I figured it was obvious. A year or so later, we spoke, and she said she was really struck by those lines, and she thought they were mine. She shared this with a new boyfriend, and he told her those lines were not mine, but Jackson Brown's. Yeah, this is what happened with Carol, the guy stealing Bob Dylan. A clown. I worked with you at the Post, but I'm sure you don't remember me. That's okay. There were a lot of people, and I don't remember them all. Ray Saunders in North Beach, Maryland. From Steve Allen. Your May 18th program featured a great blues song, Ronan's Mountain Blues. A minute or so into the song, I was reminded of Jack Bruce of Cream. It was certainly not the solo guitar because, as I'm sure you know, Bruce was a great bass player. It was Ronan's voice, kind of a cross between Jack Bruce and Buddy Guy, maybe. Loved it in the show. By the way, I'm a Willamette Valley native. I would add to all the information you're now getting about Oregon wines that there are great big wines produced in Southern Oregon, a drier, warmer climate. Thank you and your team for all you do, especially now. We're going to be... Are they called onophiles?
Who knew?
Is that what wine people are? They're onophiles? From Mark Feiner in Greenwich, Connecticut, a play in 30 acts, Act 1. Tony, you going out? Wilbon, I'm going out. I've not gone out, but I will go out. I'm not going out. Don't go out. I'm going out. You must go out. I will not go out. Do not go out. I haven't gone out, but you must go out. Arizona is heaven. Florida is hell. I'm going to die in my attic. Act 2. Acts 2 through 30. Repeat Act 1. I'd like to thank Samuel Beckett for continuing to bring us the Tony Kornheiser
Show.
Well,
shall we go?
You know, waiting for Godot. Hello from Australia. Nathan Fitzgerald here. Laura Little from Wollongong, Australia, where your high school friend, Dr. John Schuster, Dr. J, was my first T-ball coach, and I'm still friends with him and his son, Asa, almost 40 years later. First, I'm sure I thanked you in 2016 when this occurred, but I want to thank you again for one of the most amazing things that has happened to me when you sent a message to Dr. J congratulating us on our baseball club's 50th anniversary. I was in tears the first time I saw it, so thank you very much. You know what I should have done? I should have had Tracy film it and send it to Bonnie. And Bonnie could have sent it to you. The main reason I write to you is to let you know that the greatest game of all rugby league, Australian League is the National Rugby League, NRL, is kicking off again at 5:50 DC time on Thursday, May 28th. That's tomorrow. A great time for you. This will be one of the first major sporting competitions in the world to start again. And I'm sure if you were to watch, you would agree how great it is. In the absence of pro sports in the United States, I implore you to watch this wonderful game with brutal defense and breathtaking attack. I would also like to get in and ask that you make the Canterbury Bulldogs the official NRL team of the Tony Kornheiser Show. Of course. You know, the Canterbury Tales. Chaucer, I got the lowest grade I got as an English major in Chaucer. I think I hooked it. May have been C+. Everything else I got were A's. And Chaucer. I didn't like Chaucer. I got to be fair about that. Are we out of time?
We are.
Did we roll out of time? Can I just do one more?
Of course.
It's fairly long. It's from Niall Piper in Newcastle, England. I've been a loyal Little for 10 years now, but being a 27-year-old in the northeast of England, I was yet to experience a David Aldridge moment. This all changed on Sunday evening. Taking advantage of one of the few positives from being in enforced lockdown, my partner and I sat down to watch The Americans, which I had been meaning to watch for years. You can imagine her surprise when partway through episode 2 of season 3, I jump up and exclaim, "That was Mr. Tony. Now, my partner may have listened to between 3 and 5 total minutes of your show in the 4 years we've been together before finding a reason to switch it off. So she gave me a derisory smile. Is that how that's pronounced? Derisory smile, and turned back to the screen. At the end of that episode, and possibly because of my excitable outburst from hearing an old Orange Man, my partner decided it was time to watch the news. As she turned on the BBC News, I glanced up at the screen only to see Cindy Boren being interviewed about the possible return of the NBA. As soon as I saw her, I blurted out, "Why don't you ask her how old she is?" rhetorically to the news anchor. My partner looked at me with a puzzled look, to which I started to reply, "Well, you see, on the Mr. Tony show," I'd barely finished those words by the time she stood up and told me she'd had enough of a podcast from another continent interrupting her night. She was going to bed. I decided to watch the rest of the interview in the hope they would ask her age, but it wasn't to be. It's safe to say I do not think my partner will be becoming a little just yet, but having 2 David Aldridge moments in the space of an hour on a Sunday night has been the highlight of my 10-week lockdown here before I head back to teaching in a primary school next week. Thanks for continuing with the podcast. It gives me some form of normality for a couple of afternoons a week. That's great. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Look at the Michigan man. Look at the Michigan man.
Out my window frame, hearing the chant of names like newsworthy accolades. Pictures they remain, staring at faces smiling sideways. Was this a mistake I'm dwelling on? Staying home, the night's not that long, not that long, not that long. When you're alone on Saturday night, put your worries aside, leave them all behind. When you're alone, alone. When you're alone on a Saturday night, out there they were wired. After hours, they soon faded, weak and tired. Trouble, it comes out late. From the bottom of my heart, I hope they're safe. There's no harm staying home where I belong. I belong. What can go wrong when you're alone on Saturday night? Put your worries aside, leave them all behind. When you're alone, some nights I'm like a rocket, money in your pocket, burning up a hole in one place. Some days I'm a sunrise up on the skyline. There's no way I would trade when you're alone on Saturday night. Put your worries aside, leave them all behind when you're alone. Alone, when you're alone on Saturday, alone on a Saturday night.
I want you to be my girl, 'cause you're the best lover.